backwards, so we're all about backwards.
Okay.
All right,
I
so let's
swear a lot.
Well, so do I. So do I. So.
But not insult anyone.
Well, you can insult people too. We're fine with that too.
Oh, yeah.
With the kind of doing the you know the super deluxe stuff, you're going from like, you know, I know that you've done a bunch of television, a bunch of improv, a bunch of film, and now you're doing kind of these short little web bits. How is that? How did it take some getting used to that for you? Or,
well, I don't know. You know, I mean, people aren't familiar with a lot of the things I've done in the last few years. The only things people know are Mr. Show, some of my TV guest appearances.
Sure.
And I guess, you know, some people know I've made a couple features, but even that, it seems like people either know Let's Go to Prison or they've heard about the Brother Solomon that's coming out.
Right.
They've not heard of Melvin Goes to Dinner, which is the first feature I made.
Right.
So people aren't, you know, I guess the truth is, you know, I've always sort of done a lot of projects at once, you know. It's just sort of something I like to think about a lot of different things, and I like the perspective it gives me on whatever I'm doing. So Derek and Simon is something I've been pursuing for like 3 years now.
Right.
We made the first short probably 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and then, you know, and then HBO wanted it, and we did some for them, and now Super Deluxe wants it, and I just love working with these guys. They make me laugh, and I think the short sequences of it, you know, it's not like a challenge to work in that scenario. It's kind of simple and open-ended and kind of easy, actually, and it's a lot of fun. So I don't know. I don't look at it as like, I'm working in this new area. I wonder what that'll be like. I just like the guys and
right.
get the vibe of it, and that's what it should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How did you hook up with them? Because you also did the pity card for, like, the Wolfen stuff too, right?
That was actually for HBO.
And then it got placed on the Wolfen thing?
Yes.
Okay.
How did I hook up with the guys? Simon was a fan of mine back when I did Mr. Show, and we had the same agent.
Okay.
And she asked if I would meet with him, so I did, and liked him, and we talked. And then a few years later, I met Derek, who my wife represents. She saw him at Second City, and my wife is a manager, so I liked Derek and hung out with him and talked to him, and then saw those guys hanging out together, and my wife said, you know, they're friends, and they want to do a show together. You should think about working with them because they're funny together. They're kind of a funny team. They're just talking. They're really funny. And so we got together and started talking about what a show could be. And honestly, I was, after discussing different ways of doing it, I said, you guys are just so funny together. We should just, you know, hang out.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. The show should be you hanging out and hitting on girls and failing.
Right.
And that's just going to be funny. And it's going to be fun to watch. And they have plenty of stories of, you know, terrible relationships.
Sure. I've only seen the first three, but, like, what I've seen so far is brilliant. And I think what really makes it work is, you know, the brevity of it, like how short it is and how quick it gets to the punch. How much of, like, what is shown is improv versus like how much of it is scripted?
Well, it's very strange. I mean, I think I'm going to say it's, some shows are 90% scripted,
mm-hmm.
and some are 10.
Right.
You know,
just depends.
So I don't know what to tell you. It's very, it varies wildly from one to the other. There are a couple that are, you know, longer than the ones you've seen. There's
right.
a couple that are like 8 minutes long.
Okay.
So we cut those into two. But I agree with you that the very short ones are really, in a way, some of the most rewarding.
Yeah, that the deaf girl one is just...
It's great.
Amazing.
It's a great moment. It's a great group of guys. You can get the vibe totally. And it's very funny how they doom their friend and then react.
You're right.
So... are so mean to him when he
right.
he react, you know, when he basically has been doing what they just did.
Right.
Making a bad assumption.
Right. So you've been doing, you know, comedy for quite a while now, and
mm-hmm.
now you're, you know, getting into this new web stuff? I mean, you've done other stuff before, like you mentioned Melvin Goes to Dinner, which I also loved.
Oh, thank you.
That's something I am aware of. So how, from the time that you've, started doing comedy in Illinois, just doing stand-up on your own, to going to SNL, to now, doing Mr. Show and now being where you're at, how has comedy changed, or how have you seen it change?
Well, with all the new venues, and certainly Super Deluxe is a great example of a great, amazing venue for young, smart, sharp talent that wants to grow, that just would have nowhere to make a film or share it, except maybe film festivals, which is just a small, small elite group of people watching things at those venues. Obviously, here's this great new place you can go with your ideas and your energy and your voice and grow it there and find an audience. That's the big change, is that this so-called alternative scene, back when I was starting out, there was stand-up clubs, and there was like, one sketch show on TV, and that was it. That was the whole country. And there were some theaters in Chicago and Groundlings and in Los Angeles, and that was it. And so just all these new venues allow for people like Jonah Ray and, just the guys and comedians of comedy, Patton and Brian and Maria Bamford and, Zach Galifianakis and even David Cross. I mean, these people would have been very marginalized when I was starting out. They just would have had, there'd be just no way you could see them if you lived in Kansas. You would never, ever see them ever.
Right.
And so because of the internet and these and Super Deluxe and DVDs, I said that like an old man who'd only heard the word DVD once. And DVDs, there's a legitimate audience and market for all these great, more interesting, offbeat voices.
Right.
So it's a pretty amazing thing, and to me, the industry has grown in a really great way, but I like that kind of stuff. Now, similar to the music industry, which I think is, they always bitch about and say is mired in some kind of tide pool. I think it's great what's happening now. I love that all these little indie bands put out albums, and they're just as legitimate as the big bands. They can almost sell as many copies as the big chosen voices.
Right.
And it's just great because I love that nobody knows where to look or put their money.
Right.
When I was starting out, there was clearly four places to put your money if you were trying to invest in comedy. And now it's like, well, I don't know, make a short film, make a small thing, make a website, it's great. And it just allows artists to have much more opportunity.
Right. Yeah, I think that's kind of, almost everybody that you've mentioned, actually, except for Maria, we've interviewed. And one of the things that, almost each one of them has touched base on is that, they embrace, technology and, for what it is, because without any of that, I mean, Comedians of Comedy is proof of that alone. When you have a Netflix movie that, is exclusive to Netflix, that is now carried in Best Buy because of how it was rented, I think that's a huge thing.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. That would not, nothing like that would have existed. Those guys would be character actors on sitcoms.
Yeah.
And nothing more. And it's, what a waste that would have been.
Right.
They all have unique voices. They love doing comedy. They can, and not only do they get to show what they do, they get to grow it. It gets to grow,
right?
Because they get to do it and have it be seen and think about it and talk about it, instead of just existing in this little corner, hardly noticed. And it's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
great.
Kind of along those lines, though, too, is it? And this is something I interviewed David a while ago too, and something I asked him, is, even though, you guys have produced a lot of stuff and it's all been, well received within the circles that it is, at some point you still, we're on the eve of another Larry the Cable Guy movie coming out, or, you have like Dane Cook, that kind of stuff. Is it ever disheartening in comedy to, maybe step back and just look at what amount of people actually, quote unquote, get it, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it is. It is. I wish we had a bigger audience. I think we deserve one. I think a far bigger audience would have liked Mr. Show if it had been promoted well and put on in a place where it was, you know, easy to view.
Yeah, not at midnight or something.
Yeah, not Friday at midnight. You know, I think I don't like being relegated to the back alley all the time, but you know what? You can't bitch about that too much. It just is the way it is. It's just life, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Sure.
You know, we'll see.
I guess it's kind of like music, too, like you were saying, you know, where it's like you can't make everybody happy, so it's better to just make the people that get it happy and be true to them.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, the kind of thing that I'm bemoaning is basically I wish we were more lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, there's luck involved in all this. Somebody was in here, I was working with a guy earlier today, and we were talking about, you know, different careers, and we were talking about Will Ferrell, and, you know, Will's fantastic and so likable and so much fun. But, you know, if he hadn't gotten a few breaks, you know, he'd be known for Night at the Roxbury right now. You know, and it's just like, you know, you need chances, and some people get them and some don't. And obviously what we were just talking about is that there's with all these new outlets, there's a better chance you'll get some luck, you know, you'll
right.
get seen and noticed.
Right.
In
working even with the Derek and Simon stuff, and I know your friends, you know, like with Patton and Zach and all those guys, and you guys are a pretty close knit group of people. Even though it's got to be fun and kind of relaxed working with friends, is it also ever, I don't want to say a pain in the ass, but does it make it harder also because you're always trying to maybe like fit in but also kind of do your own thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I really don't. I just do my stuff, and I guess I think what you're asking is if there's a lot of,
I guess competition.
If there's a kind of a competition and a watching each other, I don't think we do that as much as you might think.
Sure.
We're kind of separate in our lives, and a lot of people, you know, they're married and have kids now and stuff, so
right.
you just don't naturally think like that. You
sure.
just are, you're so busy and putting so much effort into just doing your thing that you, that there's no room for that. I think maybe there was more of that back when we literally were together all the time.
Right.
I mean, there was a couple of years there where, you know, almost every day, certainly every night, me, Janine Garofalo, Andy Dick, David Cross, Margaret Cho, Karen Kilgariff, Patton Oswalt, Brian Posehn, Jay Johnson, Paul Tompkins, you know,
mm-hmm.
we were all together.
Right.
Every day and night. You know, and then you kind of are watching each other, and a bit more competitive might be.
Sure.
True. Pretty far apart now in a lot of ways, but we're all still friends, you know.
Right, right.
We like each other. We wish we could work together more now. Now I think there's more of a feeling of like, geez, I just wish I could be around those people, you know.
Right. Just a couple other questions, and then I'll let you go. You know, I know that you came from Naperville, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did a lot of stuff in Chicago. And I was wondering, like, there seems to be, and maybe this is, I'm actually based out of Milwaukee right now.
Yeah.
So there seems to be, like, a kind of a Midwest sense of comedy or a sense of humor that you, maybe that it's not bred on the coasts, but there just seems to be a sense of humor that's bred here that's unlike anywhere else. Did you see that when you were, like, when you made the move from Chicago to New York, or?
No, I know what you mean.
Right.
People have always talked about a Chicago sensibility, and I just wonder if I agree, because I've never felt like that much of a Chicago comic, you know?
Sure.
And so I don't know how that applies to me quite. I guess, and also at this point now, I think I used to think that more
right.
than I do now. I know I have so many friends from so many different parts of the country.
Sure.
I don't know if I recognize that anymore. I don't know.
Is there a difference between going from, you know, from New York to L.A. in the sensibilities of comedy?
Yeah. at, you know.
Sure.
In my career, you know, I just
everything kind of
know people on both coasts, and
sure,
a lot of my friends go to both coasts and they just do their thing, and it's not really about, you know, something being better here or there, you
sure.
know. I don't know.
So
I'm kind of lost when it comes to those differentiations.
Sure. Well, I think as you get older too, like things just kind of blend too.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
So, you're doing 12 episodes of
yeah.
Derek mm-hmm. and Simon,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be released once a week starting this week.
May 16th.
May 16th. Yeah. Okay. And after those 12, what do you guys have planned? Is it just going to kind of be a waiting game, like wait and see how they go?
You know, I think we want to make more. We love making them.
Sure.
I mean, look, we didn't have to make these things, and we're not making them for money. And we're
right.
We like making them. We like hanging out. We like the stories. You know, you look at these young actors and actresses on this show. They don't get parts like this.
Right.
They get really corny, terrible, terribly written sitcom parts.
Sure.
That aren't, you know, human beings who are looking out, you know, looking for relationships or saying quippy, funny things. They're just really corny crap.
Right.
And so they want to do these parts. They want to show everybody what they can do.
Right.
So.
Just two more questions, and then I'll let you go. The second from last question is, so what's next for you? And, you know, you got these 12 coming out, and then you've got the Brother Solomon coming out.
Yeah, Brother Solomon coming out in September, which I'm really happy with. It's really, really a fun, sweet, silly movie. I have a couple movies I'm writing and a couple TV show ideas I'm writing. So I'm going to sort of gear up to do some other things. And when it comes to movies, you really kind of have to prepare 5 or 6 projects to try to maybe get one to happen.
Sure.
If you're lucky.
Sure.
And I'm really trying to go to another level with the movies. Like I said, I'm very happy with the Brother Solomon, but I do think I need to step it up to an even higher level, you know.
What kind of stuff, what step up would you like to do? What kind of different stuff?
Oh, I don't know, something with just a thicker story.
Sure.
It's got, like, just more guts to its story.
Sure.
And, or just more my own sensibility of humor, you know, in a lot of ways. This one, Brother Solomon, is, you know, Will Forte.
Right.
It's funny, I was reading the New York Times previews of movies coming up, and I love how they listed Brother Solomon and wrote, you know, Bob Odenkirk attempts to bring his vision of comedy to the screen. And it's like, wait a second. You know, Melvin Goes to Dinner was Michael Blyden's vision.
Right.
Let's Go to Prison was Ben, Tom Lennon and Ben Grant's vision. And Brother Solomon is Will Forte's vision. They're not mine.
Sure.
I took somebody else's vision and I somewhat built it on it. But I tried to present, I tried to do what they thought was so great about it.
Sure.
I didn't write it.
Right.
They weren't my vision. They were somebody else's vision, and I tried to deliver them in some way that, you know, was kind of pure and hopefully showcased what the writers who thought of it wanted to share with everyone.
Right.
So I guess the next thing is to try to really do get my vision somewhere.
Do you prefer writing and directing, like complete, like across the board, total control?
I think I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do like directing something that someone else wrote if I think I can do a good job with it.
Sure.
But I think I like more maybe to do something that I wrote.
Sure.
You know.
Okay, last question, and then I'll let you go. It's a question that we ask everybody. It has nothing to do with anything
yes.
you've talked about. The question is, do dogs have lips?
Yeah. Easy.
Good enough for me.
Little black lips.
That's all right.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, and good luck with the shorts, and good luck with Brother Solomon.
Thank you.
Cool. Have a good one.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.